Praise the Lord. Can we all stand up and say, I love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
Do it again.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Okay, well, this is our kind of final conclusion for the morning series here. We don't actually have an outline, but I hope you take notes, okay? Because what will be spoken here, hopefully, will revolutionize your college life and your Christian life. What we'll share this morning actually is very simple. However, I hope you consider this for the rest of your, actually the rest of your Christian life, okay? So if you can find some notes, some section where you can write some notes, I want to tell you what the title this morning is, okay? I want you to write this down. And almost every word is very crucial, okay? Here's the title of today's this message, The Critical Role of Students in Bearing Remaining Fruit from the Campus. Okay, let me read that again, and I'm going to write down some crucial words here. The critical role of students in bearing remaining fruit from the campus. Okay? So the burden this morning is, you know, you as students need to realize and see and understand what is your critical role in the bearing of fruit on the campuses. Okay? Actually, you know, what we've been fellowshipping about this week is we're trying to build up what we call these vital groups. Okay? The nature of the vital groups is spiritual. That's why we spend time with the Lord. That's why there's a whole series of exercising our spirit for the release of the spirit to build up the church, which is the goal. Okay? So the very nature of everything we do is spiritual. It's not just, let's go hang out. It's not just a social thing. It's spiritual. It's touching the spirit, being built up in the spirit, walking by the spirit, and releasing the spirit so we can accomplish God's purpose. Okay? But the condition by which we do all of these things is the one of love. Didn't you all appreciate the fellowship on the homes? Actually, don't you appreciate the experience of being in the homes? The love of the saints, the pouring out, not having to go to the grocery because there's so much leftovers, week after week after week. That's an atmosphere of love, a condition of love, right? So what we like to put the exclamation this morning. Don't just exercise the spirit and come to the meetings. Don't just have a loving atmosphere and we just love Jesus together until he comes. What is the goal of all of this? What is the goal? Right? If you are shooting the target, you got to know what you're shooting at. You don't just do this. You got to aim. What is the goal? Why do we exercise our spirit? And why do the saints open their homes? Why do we have an atmosphere of love and fellowship and prayer and opening to one another, right? Don't you enjoy the twos and threes? Right? What is the goal of all of this? Okay? The goal is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. Okay? Right? Ian, well, you graduated already, right? Okay, it was good. What is your goal in going to school. Praise the Lord. Hopefully it's so that you can eventually graduate with a degree. Right? That's the goal, to go to college. Or else you're spending all this money, all this time, all this worrying about the exams, but you never graduated. Or you don't know where you're going, then you're wasting your time. Okay? So even we can have all these things, spirit, love, but if we don't see the goal of fruit bearing, I'm afraid we may be running around in circles and we never go anywhere. Okay? So I was just really touched by some verses this morning in John 15. Okay? 15:5, it says, the Lord said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay? He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? Let me read another verse. Verse 16. And I hope you pay attention to this verse. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Right? You thought, oh, I chose. No. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Okay? And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Not just bear fruit and hallelujah, leave them behind. No, your fruit has to remain, has to be built up into the body, into the church life, right? For God's purpose, for the Lord's coming back, right? I chose you and I set you, you should go forth and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain. So while you're going forth to meet the bridegroom, it's almost synonymous. You need to go forth and bear remaining fruit. Okay? So I don't know if this is the first time you're hearing this, but this has to sink into you. You are a branch attached to the Lord as the vine, and your commission is to bear remaining fruit. Okay? So part of that title, fruit bearing. Okay, now, let me touch another part. Campus. Most of us here are students on a college campus. Okay? You know what the college campuses are? These are like, it's almost a miracle. God wants us to bear remaining fruit. That means you need to contact people. Right? And guess what? There's this thing called college campuses by which God, or I don't know, maybe humans, but the Lord allows thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young people just feeding into these college campuses year after year after year. At Ohio State, I think every new year, 12,000 freshmen. Even maybe last year, we didn't catch any. Guess what? And you messed it all up, and you offended a lot of people. And we did. But you know what? This year, a fresh new 12,000. It's amazing. You know, I don't know. Some here maybe they do fishing. Here, it's like you're fishing, and it's being stocked every year. Thousands upon thousands. It's almost like you just stab it and, you know, get somebody. Let me tell you this. As college students, this is the best time in your whole life. I believe you. In your whole life to preach the gospel. Don't wait until, oh, I graduate. Oh, and then I need to go to the full-time training. And then I need to go to Boston. And then da-da-da-da-da. You just consider that. However, don't wait for that. If you wait for that, then you will miss this opportunity while you are on the campus as a student to bear remaining fruit. It's not the same. I come back, I'm full of burden, maybe, you know, whatever my constitution is, and I'm consecrating myself to the Lord, but guess what? I'm not a student anymore. It's not the same, okay? And I will prove that to you through a lot of testimonies. So campuses, you need to realize where you are. Actually, who here is an incoming freshman? Please stand up. You may not think so. You are the most important people in the campus labor. Amen. Oh, but I'm not so constituted. No, forget about that. You, just because of the fact that you are an incoming freshman and you love the Lord, you're here. You've consecrated at least this week to get saturated with the triune God. You are the most important people in the campus labor. Thank you. I don't know if you're all convinced yet. Okay. Let me tell you why. So students, eventually, what is our target? Right? I appreciate in the fellowship when we were going at the gospel. Don't go after those administrative people, 60 years old, set in their ways, this and that, cause a lot of problems. You know what we should shoot for? We should aim for the incoming freshmen. Why are you so important? Because you're a freshman, and that our target are the incoming freshmen. Why are we targeting the incoming freshmen? Because number one, you walk into the campus, maybe you moved away hundreds of miles from home, you're alone. Everything's new. You're open. You're a little bit afraid, a little anxious. I don't know who my friends are going to be. Your whole life is ahead of you, right? Will people be nice to me? Where do I go get groceries? Where do I go hang out? You know, what am I going to study? Do I really want to study psychology or biology or, you know, there's a lot. You're up in the air. You're open. You're excited. You're anxious. All of these things make you very open and prime to touch the triune God and also to be brought into the church life. Okay? Why also incoming freshmen? That means you have at least 4 years to begin to know God, right? Sometimes if we meet some of these, they're already like on their last year of their graduate studies, and they may really touch the Lord, but they only got 1 year, right? But think about it. They come right in, they're so fresh, and we have maybe 4, maybe 5, if they go to grad school, 6, 7, 8 years to know God's economy, to exercise their spirit, to learn to be built up with the saints. And even they should be the ones going out preaching the gospel. Amen? Amen. So you, as students, especially the incoming freshmen, are the most important people in bearing fruit on the campuses. Okay, now, the main burden today is this matter of role. Role. Okay? We have to consider, the whole church is like a team. And we're going to go to bear fruit in the campuses for the increase of the church. Okay? So, there are different aspects. You know, you may have heard of this term called the threefold cord. Right? Not easily broken. Right? You may have a burden. Oh, okay, I'm going to go to the campus and I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm going to get people saved. And then midterms come, finals come. You don't have any money and you're hungry. And you're all alone with this burden and commission to preach the gospel. Eventually, you're going to sink. So praise the Lord that there are saints in the church with homes. Praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord, you know, in some campuses, there's also these people called full-timers, right? They consecrated their life, all their time, to serve the Lord and to be with the students, okay? But the most important part are the students. These are the three groups that work as a team on the campus to bear fruit. Now, as students, okay, so I want to define a little bit the role. What should you as students be doing? Okay? Number one, when it relating to other students, the target, the freshman, let me see. Who's the freshman here? Freshman brother. Oh, come on. Come up here. All right. All Okay, here's the Christians on campus table. And here's him, fresh, right?
Amen.
And here's me, right? Here comes, you know, let's, Josh, come on. 18-year-old fresh, incoming freshman. Who's he going to talk to? Exactly. Right? You know what? Freshmen, how many freshmen have you met? They just come in and they just want to know what is the meaning and the purpose of their whole human life, and they're just contemplating what, you know, not too many. They may consider that, maybe, you know, but you know what they're thinking about? Dude, where's the party? You gonna go, oh, you play frisbee, you know? Free pizza? they are in this realm. Ooh, where do I go buy books? You got yours online? You know, you are in this realm. Okay, I'm a father of three kids and a dog with a mortgage. And, you know, I am not even on the same level as you. I don't even understand what you're thinking. You see my point? I can't, it's hard for me to relate. I love the students, I love the gospel, but we're just not even on the same planet. But another incoming freshman, you are very much on the same level. But you have the Lord, right? And he wants to flow out of your innermost being. So think about it. Who is more important in contacting the freshman directly? Not the full-timer, the freshman who loves Jesus, who has a burden for the gospel. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Actually, with this in mind, maybe we'll have our first pop-up. I think Dustin's going to come up. And we'll do a little bit like a interview type of testimony. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you got game from the campus, right?
Yes.
Oh, you have a... yeah.
I did. I'm Dustin.
From?
Conway.
All right. What university?
University of Central Arkansas.
Okay, good. Now, how did you touch the church or the saints?
I touched the church life through a friend of mine, a few friends of mine. I ended up just going to kind of a random meeting. It wasn't even necessarily a meeting, just a bunch of people met at one of the saints' houses one night, decided they were going to sing some songs. I remember someone, I keep trying the hardest to remember specifically who it was that told me about the meeting. But I know that there was probably three different students that told me about the meeting. I remember at some point I called each of them throughout the day going, hey, when you guys said you were going to meet up, what time are you guys going to meet up? And then one person would be like, I don't know, you might want to call him. I know we're meeting at this house. And then that's the next person would call me. I don't know, you should probably just show up around this time. I ended up showing up with my roommate. And the way that I touched church life was just, like I said, it was just a normal, like, just people came and they were hanging out, and everyone was singing songs, and they were enjoying the Lord, and they started just kind of like having that overflow and just talking about the Lord. And I was like, wow, who are these students who enjoy the Lord so much? Who are these people who just on a like Monday night, I don't even know if it was Monday night, it was just some random day before school started. They just met up, just enjoying the Lord. I'm like, who are these students enjoying the Lord so much? And just through their enjoyment, what they spoke of the Word and how much they enjoyed the Word, I was like, wow, I want to have that. I want to have that same thing.
So there was no full-timer there giving a concluding word from Genesis to Revelation?
No,
you weren't impressed by their doctrine?
There was no full-timer there.
Okay.
In fact, I don't even remember seeing a community saint there. I'm sure they were there, but they were probably off in the corner somewhere.
Okay, now, one of the brothers, one of the students that you were very close to that, you know, also was instrumental in bringing to the church life, his name is Drew?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. How did he touch the church life?
Drew had an interesting background coming into it. He was actually having fellowship with another brother that he was being built with at the time. And they were seeing kind of the church in Acts, and they were looking for that. And they were really disappointed with all the churches that they had seen. And they were looking for, and they knew that it was there. They knew they had seen the church in Acts. They had seen it through all these other writings, and they knew that it could be a reality. And they were just so disappointed that they hadn't seen it. They were like, God, why would you show us this vision of the church if it's not there? And eventually, this was actually I have to backtrack a little bit. The first, like, I think it was Drew's freshman year, he had actually gotten in contact with one of the community saints, Dr. Randy Pastor, who is he's actually the doctor on campus. And Drew just met up with him, and Randy, Brother Randy, had just kind of like this burden to gain people from Arkansas. And so when Drew left, Brother Randy, he always tells a story about how he was praying for Drew almost like to tears. Just that the Lord would gain him because he just wanted to gain some genuine people from Arkansas. Four or five years later, all of this time is going through where he's being built with this other brother, Aaron, who's now in New Zealand. And then there was just a whole circle of us who were just friends. We just knew each other, and we had had experiences of just meeting up and talking about the Lord and having no issues with it, you know, just having an easy flow of just discussing the Lord, fellowshipping about things. We even got to the point where we had a large group of friends, and we decided, you know, we need to meet up on Fridays and we need to pray. We need to cover all these matters that are going on. And these were all the things that were happening from the time that he prayed with or he talked to Brother Randy. Like I said, again, cut back 5 years later. He ends up touching basically some of the community saints and getting involved with some of the community saints, and he starts touching the church life, and he realizes, wow, this is it. This is what we were looking for. This is what we were trying to find for all those years. Thank you, Lord, that we finally found, you know, this church that you've wanted us to see. And and through his touching the church life, it brought in pretty much all that whole group that were meeting up and praying and stuff. All of them in some way have touched the church life since then.
How long did it take you after he touched the church life and was, wow, this is it? How long did it take you from that point until you came in?
It took about 3 months.
The difference?
He touched the church life, and I just knew that I'd always heard, you know, I keep in touch with him and stuff, and I'd hear that he was meeting up with a group and that he was really enjoying the Lord. And I could tell kind of like there was a change in his disposition. Like, he was just generally like a happier guy, and he just enjoyed, you know, people more, being around people more. And I remember that was one of the first few invites. Was he was like, hey, yeah, I've been meeting up with this church. You should come check them out. You know, you should come see what it's about. And after that, after about three other people who ended up coming to me that I had known previously, they all kept going to me like, hey, you should come check us out. We got that meeting. And that was that Monday night, just like, hey, you should show up on Monday. We're just going to be hanging out. We're just going to be like enjoying the Lord. And I was like, hey, let's try it out. And I think Drew didn't even know that I was going to be there that night. I started showing up to the meetings and stuff, and Drew was like, Dustin, you're here. And through him and I fellowshipping, we ended up pulling in other guys that were in the group.
Now, pay attention. Praise the Lord for Brother Randy, right?
Amen.
Community saint, very burdened, praying to tears, desperately, touched a freshman. And 5 years later, he comes in. Right? But when that student comes in, 3 months later, the whole group comes in. We really appreciate the saints who are full of burden, full of praying, and we will continue to pray, and we will continue to be burdened. But do you want to wait 5 years every time to get somebody into the church life? What about 3 months? How much more the church would increase if the students rose up based on, I mean, it was just, hey, you know, this and then that, and can I just show up here? And, you know, what kind of preaching is that? But you are a student, and yeah, he's kind of cool. You like that? Okay, I like it. I'll check it out. Almost. You see my point? You think Brother Randy is much more constituted than these brothers? But guess what? 3 months versus 5 years. You make the decision, right? You are more effective. Don't look down on your, oh, I'm not so constituted. Well, you function and you will be burdened to be constituted. You function and then you find out, oh, I need more Christ. I need more of the Spirit. Right? Okay, one last thing. What is the main keeping factor that has kept you so far? You've been around for how long?
In August, it'll be a year.
Less than a year. Okay. What is the main keeping factor of why you're still here and why you're even here?
Well, we, you know how we have at the end of each semester, the clubs get together and we have kind of our like celebration meeting. What did you enjoy? What is your testimony from the semester? And this last semester, I looked out at everyone that was in the room and I said, all the students, by the way, I looked out at all the students and I said, you are my testimony. I said, it's your enjoyment of the Lord and your knowledge of the word that keeps bringing me back.
Amen. There you go. It wasn't the expounding of the high truth by these fully constituted full-timers.
Oh, okay. In fact, I think Micah probably liked that that it was the students who brought me in and kept me there.
Some of us are picking up. We're slow too, right? But we're beginning to realize you are the most effective gospel preachers and people to bear fruit on the campus. Thank you, brother. All right? So students relating to students. Now, what about the next part? Students in relation to the saints and the community. Okay? I'm almost begging you, saints, invade a home. Please invade a home. Right? You will save yourself, and you will save the saints who own that home. Right? And I said what I said yesterday. Everybody's tired. All the families are tired. All the families are busy. All the families have kids, right? And, you know, like what David talked about this morning, arguing, and, oh, here's the students. All of that happened. It really does happen. But you know what? Invade the homes. You know, when the students are in our home, in my home, I don't fight with my wife so much. And I don't yell at my kids so much. Your being in our home actually sanctifies our home, right? It forces us to be in the Spirit. You see my point? Also, that will be your salvation. If you don't have a home, a safe haven by which to really be shepherded, really have a place where you can open your heart, you can cry, you can complain, you can just sleep, you know, or you can do something, you know, maybe be limited so you can actually do work instead of being on the internet, things like this. Homes are our protection. So, as a student, number one, be in a home. Number two, begin to open and fellowship and coordinate and pray with these saints in those homes. Right? Praise the Lord. Again, Brother Randy had a heart. Right? But if there are some students that can coordinate with you, right? And eventually, guess what? The mom with three kids, she can't go to the campus to bring that girl, the freshman girl. You go out there after you have coordinated, after you have prayed, right? And you go and, hey, we're going to go chill, you know, chill out and have some food and, you know, there's some kids there, really cool. You don't need to even say about Christ, but they'll come. And when they come, they see something. You see my point? So we'll have a second pop-up, Brother Paul. He's going to fellowship with us about coordinating with the homes, the community saints.
Now go ahead. Amen. I was really, when Jefferson approached me about this, I was really burdened, and Joe and I have a really strong burden for this matter of the students functioning in their proper role. So as the matter of the community saints is very important, because like Jefferson's saying, the saints in the locality around your campus are willing, right, to open their homes. So like Jefferson said, we just have to go, right? That's number one. Number two is that the saints can't, if they want students in their home, they can't always get them. So let me give an example. I live with a family, some saints, and they're very sweet and they have a heart for the campus. But there is no way. One brother works, the other sister, the husband works, and the wife stays at home. There's no way they can go on campus to get students. It's impossible for them. They just can't do it. Time, and just out of place on campus. There's just no way that they can go onto campus to invite students to their house. So, living at their house, having dinner with them every night, which is great. I have the the function to invite students to the house. That is my job. That's in the house. We have chores. I have to, you know, take out the trash and stuff like that. Inviting students to dinner is a chore. Well, it's not a chore, but it's a function, right? And so, in order, because there's no way they can do it. And the other aspect is, even if they do, because some of the community saints are also serving full time, right? Mm-hmm. So even if they are on campus, right, and if they do meet students and they meet up with them, it's still hard. An example is Scott is very sweet and opens his home once a week to the brothers, and Scott is he meets with a lot of college brothers on campus, and he meets them on a regular basis, and sometimes some of us brothers are able to join him, but we're not always able to go. But when Scott invites some of these new brothers, they don't always come, right? Even though he meets with them, he knows them, but they don't always come. When Scott tells me to text them, to invite them, they come. They hardly know me, right? Scott knows them better than I do, but because I'm a student, they come. Yeah. So there is really something to this. As students, I was really enjoying what Brother Dennis's message last night about redeeming the time. If you want to redeem the time, right, you have to function in your role as a student.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you are the most effective way to bring the students into the homes. Remember, the goal of everything we do is to build up the church. If the new contacts, our friends, if they don't get into the homes, very hard to enter into the church life. Okay? The last part, praise the Lord, there are still full-timers, and they do have their role. Okay? And so as students, you know what our role is? Actually, I hope to debunk this concept. You think, oh, praise the Lord, we got two full-timers in our campus. Hallelujah! They're going to preach the gospel, and they're going to do this, and they're going to... Actually, preaching the gospel mainly is the students. You know what the full-timers should be doing? They should be hidden in the background. And what we're doing is we're praying, we're shepherding you, and maybe sometimes perfecting, helping, working together, right? Feed you. Let's get some boba tea, right? How's everything going? You look a little down today, you know. This is the job of the full-timers. We should be hidden behind the scenes. So as a student, we are here for you, right? It's best if you begin to open to the full-timers, coordinate and pray with them, and eventually cooperate and work together with them, right? This way, everybody plays their role. The community saints have their role. Full-timers have their role. And the students have actually the biggest role, right? So for that, Brother Joe?
My name is Joe Sutton. I'm from Lubbock, Texas. And just like Paul said, I have a lot of burden, just like these brothers, just about... contacting students. You know, in the last 2 days, we've been passing out tracts about the mystery of human life, right? And I think we all have come to, you know, understand the mystery of human life. Man was created in the image of God to express God. But there's another mystery. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but there's a mystery. Why, as students, are we on the college campus? You know, really, it's to contact students. We're there to contact students. You know, if you talk to students there, what their goal is, you know, of being on campus, to get a degree, most of them will say get a job, buy a car, get married, buy a house, have kids. But then at the end, they die. And, you know, what's the point, you know? And so, really, what's the difference? Why are we there? You know, we're doing the same thing. We're in school studying, taking tests, getting a degree. But what makes us different? What sets us apart? And really, we need to have the view that the students there that we're contacting, Amen. These are the materials for God's building.
Amen.
And really, if we're not there, contacting students. God's not getting the materials he needs for his building.
Amen.
He's being held back. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just talk a little bit about how I got burdened. The summer after my sophomore year of college, I started just helping out some of the students and full-timers on campus, meeting freshmen. And, you know, I didn't really have a burden. I just was there. But I saw thousands of freshmen coming to university. And, you know, they were wandering around. And, you know, it's like they're like deer in the headlights. You know, they didn't have a clue what they were doing or where they're going with their life. And so, you know, that really gave me a burden, you know, praying with the students, praying with the full-timers, seeing all these freshmen, that gave me a burden just to contact them. And so, we all need to have a burden to contact students. And that's like, just like Jefferson's saying, that's our role. You know, when you're going fishing, you need a hook. And so the students, as students, we're that hook to catch the fish. You know, without a hook, you're not going to catch any fish. And then also in the matter of the threefold cord, you know, there's the students, the full-timers, and the homes. Well, you know, the cord makes up a net. You know, there's a, you know, with the cords all together, there's a net. And that's the best way, you know, to catch fish is with a net. It's even better than with a fishing line. But, you know, if you take out part of the cord there, you have a gaping hole in the net. And fish are just falling out of the net. And, you know, you're losing all these fish. So we really need to be built up with the full-timers in the homes.
Can you share a little bit about your experience, even, you know, in coordination and especially the dorms?
Yeah. And so also, in order to contact students, we need to go where the students are. And so we've had experiences lately just going to the dorms and meeting students there, visiting them when they come to campus, and having Bible studies there in the dorms with them. And basically, you know, one of the things that we do is just to be with the students. You know, they're there in their dorms. We go to their dorms. You know, they go to the cafeteria. We go to the cafeteria and eat with them. They go to the gym. Go to the gym with them. Play sports with them. Study with them. Hang out with them. Grab coffee with them. One of my experiences with a new one a couple years ago was basically he just started hanging out with me and doing what I did. You know, looking back on it, he told me he was with me 5 days out of the week. And I didn't even realize it. But, you know, after a year, he was fully into the church life.
Amen.
And so we need to get involved with their lives and then also allow them to be involved in our lives.
Amen.
And it's really a coordination between us and the full-timers. You know, our role is really that hook to contact the students, but also that we have the full-timers to support us and even to supply us. You know, we have questions. We come across a situation we've never had before. Yeah. What do I say to this person? You know, he's asking me questions. We have the full-timers. We have a support. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to mention, too, you know, some of these students are on campuses that don't have full-timers. There's a book called Borden of Yale. I don't know if y'all have read it, but basically it talks about this guy, William Borden, and he went to Yale and early in the 1900s, and he had a burden. He was a Christian growing up. He had a burden when he went to campus for these students. And what did he do? He got with another student, another one of his friends, and he started praying.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, over the course of 4 years, him and this other student, they prayed, and over the course of 4 years, a couple thousand students were gained off of his campus.
Amen.
And so, really, you know, it really takes a burden. We need to be burdened and
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
And then what did he do? He went and contacted. He went out to contact these students he was burdened for.
Amen.
Really, he's a testimony because he died at 25. He's a testimony of redeeming the time.
Wow.
You know, we have enough time, but we don't have enough time to waste.
Amen.
So we need to redeem the time while we're on the campus.
Amen.
To contact students.
Praise the Lord. So I think Brother Bill will continue.
Okay, I'll share a little bit, and then I'll have one pop up. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed what Jefferson put on the board. These words were taken from the Austin reunion we had in May of this year. Very, very good. Message number 3, the critical role of the students, of our students, in bearing remaining fruit from the campuses. So this is what was shared in Austin, and we wanted to take a few points from this. I'm looking at this outline. Roman 1 is the reasons we go to the students as the target of our fruit bearing. One, unoccupied, they're gathered together in one place, and they're easy for them to repent. Number 2, they're very open. And number 3, there is with them a future of the Lord's work. Roman 2, our students being the best ones to contact the target. Okay, how many students here? Stand up. All the students, stand up. Okay, very good. Okay, you are the best ones. Okay, you can sit down. I know you're looking at me, right? Maybe I should go to the campus. And why can't I go to the campus and bear remaining fruit? Well, that's why I want to talk about. These years on campus are your golden years. That was my experience. I was gained by the Lord when I was going to UCLA. I was a junior at UCLA. I didn't meet the saints there, but I came to a meeting, and then after that meeting, they found out that I went to UCLA, and they were like a pack of wolves. Anyhow, and the next day, okay, I came to a meeting November the 2nd, 1969. I know you're saying, 1969? What age was that? Anyhow, that was a long time ago. And I was very much attracted. They found out right away I was a student at UCLA. The next day, David Dong, I don't know if some of you know Dave, David Dong had me preaching the gospel the next day on the campus at UCLA. I was with brothers, you know, Art Dawson, Gerald Chan, Thomas Chang, Simon Yang. We were all together. We had a tremendous, I would say, unforgettable golden years for 4 years. When I look back, many times I'm in tears. I couldn't believe those golden years. And, of course, many times I'm still trying to do that. But it's not as easy because I'm only 69 now. So, if Jefferson had me up here, right, you know, as compared to that one brother, right, and then would the students come to me? No, they would probably run away from the table. But anyhow, students, I don't know how to impress you. These are your golden years. Take advantage of them. Do everything you can because they go quickly. And if you try to do that, even though you may be burdened for the campus, surely the Lord can use you. The Lord can really use you in your campus years. And just briefly, okay, Brother Lee himself told us, right, as students, don't go after the professors, okay? Because he told us the professors will get you. Don't think as a student who's 17, 18 years of age, trying to bring a professor, your psych professor or your engineering professor into the Lord's recovery, that hundreds of them will be brought. It's not that way. He told us, do not go after the professors or else they will catch you. Go after the students. He said, spend every nickel, every dime to gain the freshmen, because as the years go on, sophomore, junior, senior, they become increasingly occupied. They're not as easy, but still, praise the Lord, the students. So don't go after the professors. Go after the students. Okay. When I was a student at UCLA, we would set up a table on campus. Some of you know a Bruin walk, where, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of UCLA students would pass by. We set up a table. We had the literature out there, Watchman Nee, Witness Lee. This was the pre-cult era. So we had the full liberty, Living Stream, Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, no problem. So we set up a table. Ones would come. I remember this one student came by, very interested, right? He's our age. He's my age. We had a time. He was very open, right? He was searching. He was attending Campus Crusade for Christ. And we just had some fellowship sharing with him. In a few months, we caught him, Brian Hassergian. Some of you know Brian. He's there at the UCLA. We caught him, right? Campus Crusade was after him, after his parents' money, because Brian, right, his father owned a big a carpet company in California called Carpeteria, and they knew his parents had a lot of money. And Brian, by the Lord's mercy, he realized those Christians in that group, they were after him and his money, not after the Lord. By the Lord's mercy, Brian contacted some of us at the table, and the Lord gained him, a student with a student. So, I mean, it works. Another experience, I was taking class there. I had to take a class in Psych 101. So I was in this huge psychology class. I would sit way in the back. It was an elevator kind of class sloping down. And one day, right, I noticed a student there who was reading the Bible in the psych class. So I said, aha. So I went up to him. Vultures, right? I went up to him, and I just carried out a typical, here's a student to student. I mean, of course, that was like 43 years ago, anyhow. So that, I mean, I looked like more of a student then, right? So I just started to talk to him, student to student. Oh, so, you know, psychology class, we're talking about this. Oh, your Bible. Oh, yeah, I'm a believer too. And I started to share with him, oh, and I really enjoyed this matter about, you know, man has three parts, body, soul, and spirit. I still remember talking to him, right, there, right, in that class, right, inviting him to some student meetings. And if in a month or so, his name is Alan Suratani. Do you know him? Well, you know Alan? I met Alan in a psych class at UCLA, student to student. In a few months, he was in the church life because I'm a student, he's a student. We're talking about the same thing, the same interests. Do you see what I'm talking about, students? They are, you and them, the same wavelength. You got it? Talk about the same thing and so on. We got Alan. I think Alan's in Chicago, right, Marty? He's there in Chicago. So next time you see Alan, say, Alan, tell me about this guy, Bill Lawson. Okay, then, contrast. You got it? I'm going to give you contrast. I've always, since I got caught at UCLA, I've always been burdened for students. So, right, wherever I go, you know, I try to be with students, try to go to campus, try to look younger, and anyhow. My hair is not black, and, you know, anyhow. It's salt and pepper now, anyhow. So I'm involved now in three campuses, right? There I'm involved at Central Connecticut State University in New Britain, Connecticut. I'm also involved, right, with the University of Connecticut at Storrs. We began the church life about 2 years ago. Then I'm also, right, involved with the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and we just began the church life in June 16th of this year. So I'm laboring on like three campuses. Okay, let me tell you my experience. So I'm considering before the Lord. Lord, I've got to labor. I'm really burdened for the students. How can I catch these students? Then when I was in California for 10 years, and I came back to Connecticut about 5 years ago, and I'm thinking, how can I be effective on campus? Then I found out about this Connecticut state law. In Connecticut state law, they have a law, any person who is 62 years of age or older, you can almost get free tuition. You can go to campus. I said, that's it. Okay. So I signed up, you know, at Central Connecticut State University for a class. The students pay $1,000. I pay $62. See, the benefits of being, right, don't say senile, say senior. Remember, you have to understand the difference between senior and senile. I'm not senile, I'm just senior. So anyhow, I said, that's it. So I signed up for a class. I thought, I hear it is. I'll go to the class. I'll answer all, because it was a church history class. I said, aha. When the professor starts, you know, starts asking all these questions, oh, this and this and that, I said, then all the students, they will be dazzled by me. And they will all flock to me. I'll bring them. It didn't work. And every class, not one student came up to me. You see the point? You get the point? I'm not a student. I'm 67, 68, 69. They're 17, 18. They talk about things. I don't even understand what they're talking about. The music and high-tech stuff. So I said, okay, now I know what to do. I'll try it at UConn Stores. And it's cheaper there. At University of Connecticut, at Stores, I can take a class, sign up for a class, right, for $15. UConn, you cost them, what, Jesse, I don't know, $1,500 for a class. I pay $15. I do this. I took a class in linguistics and English and this kind of thing, thinking, you know, all the students would flock to me, not one. So it didn't work. But I got to know the professor. He was wondering, what am I doing in this class? Everybody's like 17, 18, I'm 67, 68, 69. Anyhow, it was amazing. You're in the class, right? I would come into the class, and he got to know me, so even before he started the class, he would walk over to me, shake my hands. It was unbelievable. It was like, this guy was so open to me. Eventually, you know, I went to his office. Then he starts opening to me about, you know, this is his second wife. You know, he and his first wife, right, they were, you know, he's opening his heart to me. It was unbelievable. We're the same age. He's only about 2 or 3 years older than I am. You see my point? Same age, same interests. So he's telling me what happened, how he lost his first wife. He got married again. She's got cancer. She's dying. He's opening his heart to me. Do you see my point? It's the same thing with you students, the same age and so on. That's the way it works today in the United States. They just open up. So, of course, I gave him recovery version. I'm still working on him, but, I mean, it's going to be a long project. I don't know how long it'll be, but that's my point, okay? Okay, then, Falon, why don't you come up, because we're almost out of time. I'm going to use Falon because Falon and I have been working at this summer at Central Connecticut State University, freshman advisor. It's a smaller campus of 12,000, but we have like an advisory, 3-week advisory time where all the freshmen come with their parents and so on. There are about 1,000 freshmen a year come into Central Connecticut State. Okay.
All right, so we had that like last week. That was the last week. So usually we didn't have much students. So it would just be myself or everyone, and they say, oh, are you a student here? And my answer is no.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, goodbye. You know, and then Bill will be there too sometimes. I'm like, oh, Bill, no, don't. Like, oh, you know, Bill will be like all around. So
I was always in the back.
Yeah.
So I let the students go to the front of the table.
So this year I was like, okay, we need to get students there. You know, we realize students is the key. Right. So we finally got enough students as a nucleus there. Because we lost a big nucleus a couple years ago.
Right.
Like a real strong one, and they all left.
Left.
Then
right.
We say, okay, how come we don't get any more students?
Right.
Because that nucleus left.
Right.
That nucleus brought in all the students, and they happened to be all the same year. I don't know.
Right.
So when they graduated, we were decimated. Decimated.
Right.
So we worked again to gain students. So now we have some students. So this year, I don't want to say forced them. It was mandatory for them to be at that table in the summer. So you have to sign up.
Yeah.
So they sat there, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And all these freshmen, and their parents.
Parents.
This is where the servant ones come in.
Right.
You know, I say, you just sit there and smile. That's it.
Right.
You have any questions? We're right here. We're right here to help them, you know.
Right.
So they just say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, come on over.
Right.
You know, they will come over.
Right.
We say, hey, come on over. They're like, we're not interested. So they come, you know, and then they just talking to them. Right. Talking to them. Then the parents will come.
Right.
And that's when Bill will step
that's
in.
That's when I come forward. Yeah. Oh. Hi, oh, we will take care of your student. Yeah. You know, we have a very good club. So I would talk to the students to allow the other ones to take care of I would talk to the parents to allow the other ones to talk to the students.
You know what I'm saying? The cherishing of the parents' face.
That's right.
You know what that does? That means the parents knows us.
Right.
And knows they're in good hands. And they would tell their sons or daughters, are you still meeting with them?
Right.
You should go see them.
Right.
Because we tell them, you know, this is their home away from home.
Home, right.
They're so happy. I was like, I have a home. Bill has a home right here. Right. All these students, they come over every Saturday, every Thursday night. You know, we feed them. We take care. We make sure they get good grades in school.
Right.
We make sure they're not jumping into the college life. We know what that's about.
Right.
So when you tell, you know, if you tell parents, that's how you're going to take care of the kids. They're going to want the kids to be with you.
Right, right.
But we realize, you see, the function of you guys is drawing them.
That's right.
They see the students out there.
Right.
We went from like maybe 5-10 names
every
term. This past term, this past summer, we have over 40-something names.
Right.
Positive names. Students who come far away from Oregon to come play volleyball.
Texas, the ones from Texas.
Texas, Michigan.
Right.
You know what they say? We're scared. They said, I don't know anybody here.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord, you came to the right table.
Right.
The students, think about that. For your campuses, you know how many students come out of state? They don't have no family, no nothing. They're living on the campus, living off the campus.
Right.
They want someone to show them around what's going on. And just like they follow our brother Joe, right? They're going to do what you do.
Right.
You come to the meeting, they're going to come to the meeting.
Right.
You go here, they're going to go there.
Right.
Of course, in a normal human way.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be proper, regular, natural students in the Lord. You know, and that's what we tell them. Just be normal. Comb your hair, wear something nice. Go talk to them. That's it. You know, we want a good testimony. So just realize the students brought in 40-something names.
Right.
Just because they came. They didn't have to say anything because their faces were young faces
to
gain the other young faces.
Right.